If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn in them with me to Job chapter 21. In Job chapter 21. And we will be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 34. If you don't know where Job is, it's right before the book of Psalms, which is in the middle of your Bible. In Job chapter 21, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. But Job answered and said, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock there, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. They are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judgeth those that are high? One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worm shall cover them. Behold, I know your thoughts, and the devices which ye wrongfully imagine against me. For ye say, Where is the house of the prince? And where are the dwelling places of the wicked? Have ye not asked them that go by the way? And do ye not know their tokens, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Who shall declare his way to his face? And who shall repay him what he hath done? Yet shall he be brought to the grave, and shall remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall draw after him, as there are innumerable before him. How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood?" Those are God's words. You remember that Zophar responded to Job in the last chapter, and he's under all these afflictions, that Job is all under all these afflictions, and that then he believes that means Job is wicked and in great sin. We learned that is not true. It is a misapplication of the truth by Zophar. And Job comes now and clarifies what is true of the wicked. And so, beloved, the question that is essentially asked is this: is outward prosperity and the continuance in that prosperity a mark of the true members of the Church of Jesus Christ? Those who promote the false religion found in the health and wealth gospel say, yes, prosperity always continues for those who are true members of the church. But that's false. Zophar is a health and wealth preacher, along with his other friends attacking Job. His prosperity coming to ruin and all the affliction they believe show that he is not faithful to the Lord. But Job responds now, and we see here who this whole time that Job has been lifting his complaint unto. He's not grumbling before man, but verse 4, it is to God alone. And so Job here attempts again to convince these friends of his, that he is not a wicked man. And Job, he goes from verse 7 onwards, he contemplates the wicked. And so first through verse 13, the wicked often are greatly prosperous. Through verse 16, the wicked are hardened by their prosperity towards the Lord, and therefore are continually rebelling against Him. And then through verse 21, he agrees that the wicked come to an end, just like Zophar had said in the past chapter. Yeah, of course the wicked come to an end. The Lord judges them and destroys them. And through verse 26, though, Job gives observation to how much variety there is in God's providence towards men generally, and even towards evil men. He describes how different things come upon different people. And it's not necessarily because they're righteous or evil in this life. And so then to the end of the chapter, he destroys the ground and foundation of his friends' severe attacks upon him by showing that the destruction of the wicked is reserved for the day of wrath. That's very important to remember here, that the destruction of the wicked is reserved for the day of wrath. It is not always seen upon this earth before we all go to the grave. But all the wicked are brought to the judgment seat of the Lord and come to an eternity of wrath and judgment where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And so God's people, may that not be you. One who is wicked, you might think you're prosperous today, and yet consider today the state of your soul. And we will do that in a moment when we go to Matthew. But make it your duty today to care for your soul, and do that by turning from your sin and evil and commit your life, commit your way to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. We're thankful this day that you're a merciful God, a good God to us, your people. And even though we might go through many trials and afflictions, you have always upheld us. Even as you are here, as we're reading about Job, you have upheld him. He is still living. He's still breathing. He's still praising you in the Redeemer Jesus Christ, as we heard a couple chapters ago. We're thankful that you're a God who upholds your people. And Father, we do pray today for the downcast, those who are struggling in their souls, whether that's struggling with their sin, struggling with the sins that come up like anxiety and worry about the things that are happening in the world and the circumstances that are going on in each of our lives. Father, we ask that you would uphold them and you would encourage them in Christ, that they would continue to stop looking at themselves, stop looking at the circumstances, and you would build them up in the faith to look at your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you would encourage them in Him alone. And we ask that you pour forth your Spirit and your grace to them today. And Father, we ask that you would be also with those, all of us, who are in sin. We've continued in sin, even as we've professed our faith in Christ and committed our way to Christ. We still struggle with the sin that still remains in our flesh and our members, just as Paul struggles and contemplates in Romans 7 that the good that he wants to do, he doesn't do. And that which he doesn't want to do, which is sin, he keeps on doing. And Father, we feel that. We understand what that is like as your children. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen us in Christ, that we would turn from those sins, turn from those habitual sins that we keep turning to, that you would help us to turn from our idols in every false way, and that we would turn to the truth, to you, God, in your Son. And Father, we pray that we would hate our sin, just as you hate our sin. And we would love righteousness, just as you and your Son love righteousness. We're thankful that you've given us Christ, who is righteousness, who teaches us your ways. We're thankful that you've given us the law and your commandments, as we'll continue to study today. That you have given it so that we might see our sin and see our need of Christ, but also that we would turn from our sin unto Christ every day, and that you'd produce in us fruit. And so we plead by your grace that you would produce in us fruit. We pray for our congregation today that you would raise up the next generation of elders and deacons. We ask that you would also provide financially for us. And even as we seem to be entering into in the world and in our lives a harder time financially for most all of our houses, Father, we ask that you would provide. And you've always provided for each of our families. You've always given us food on our tables, beds to sleep in. And so, Father, we ask that you would grant that continually today, and that we would still not turn away, as we'll hear in a few moments from 1 John 3, that we would not turn away from meeting the needs physically of those in need. Maybe there's people here who don't have beds. Father, we ask that you would provide for them, and even through us, instruments. You have given us, all of us, property and finances, and we need to be good stewards of what you've given us. And so help us to provide and help for those in need. Father, we also ask that you would grant us wisdom in all of this. For it is often difficult to determine those who are truly in need from those who are just trying to get free things and not work. And we know that those who work not, eat not. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us with discernment. And Father, we also ask that you would teach us your ways, teach us your word, and you would turn us from every false way. Our Father, today we give you praise. We're thankful for the news about April Watson. Father, we're thankful that most of us probably thought, though we hopefully we all trusted in your will to be done, no matter what that will is, we knowing that it is perfect. Most of us probably thought that April was going to die soon, within at least a year perhaps, because of the cancer, the tumors that were in her brain and even in her spine. And yet, Father, today we're thankful for the report from the doctors that one of those tumors, or whatever it is, gross, one of them is not detectable anymore, and the other three have shrunk. And we're thankful for this report. We pray that you would preserve her. We're thankful that you're a God who answers our prayer according to your will. And while we were praying that she would die well, you were healing her. And so we pray that you would continue to uphold her for as long as you have numbered her days. And we trust your plan, though, of course, selfishly, we desire that she be with us much longer, even for the sake of the rest of the family and the younger kids and her husband. But Father, we pray that you would that your will would be done, and your name would be praised. And we do praise you today that you have given a good health report and healing that has occurred for as much as we know. Father, we do pray also for those who are sick or frail. All of us are growing older and will become more and more frail. But Father, we do pray that you would be with Philip today. You would grant him healing and his leg and foot, and that you would grant the physical therapies going through, that you would grant success for him, and that he would suffer through the pain necessary, always remembering the greater pain suffered in Christ at the cross, and even in undergoing the miseries of this life, and being here with us, loving us so much that we so that we could be saved from our sins. Our Father, we ask that you would be with Dina and heal her feet, heal also her organs and how her body functions, so that she would have more strength and energy. Father, we ask that you would turn aside us from focusing all of our prayers on the physical, and that we'd also be praying for souls, our own, and for those in the community. We do pray for the ministry we have going door to door, and for those who participate, bless them. Father, we ask that you would grant success and good godly conversations that point all to the gospel and give hope in Christ alone. Father, those who have turned from you, even who have been to church before and yet rebelled against you, even those that come in contact with them, Father, that you would call them to yourself. And even those who are come in contact with those in the cult IHOP, the International House of Prayer, that you would call them from their sin, even though they might be ignorant of it, and cause them to run and flee to a godly gospel preaching church, and away from the false teachings false ministry. Now, Father, as we continue worshiping you, we ask for your help. We are frail, as we've just prayed, even in our hearts and in our bodies. So grant us hearts that rejoice in singing your praises with your Son, Jesus Christ, and also bodies which lips to which move, that we can have understanding of what we're singing. And even as Jesus longs for, we pray that we would hear the voices of the children, for he longs to hear them sing, as we learn in the gospel, also in the Psalms. We hear what Jesus teaches there about children. And so, Father, grant that to us, that we might hear one another sing and admonish and teach one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.